you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show today, folks. I'm happy to report we're about to blow the lid off this big load of crap about the Mexican drug cartels allegedly having U.S. weapons. In fact, they do. They have a lot of them. Yep, here I am been saying they've been coming in from other countries, and a lot of them they do. A lot of them come in from other countries. However, here's the deal. The United States State Department has provided all of these weapons to Mexico. That's right. It's come out that all of these weapons that they are alleging get smuggled across the border, in fact, don't. They get shipped to Mexico with State Department approval. As a matter of fact, more than $1 billion in weapons since 2004. Now, there's an interesting little thing here. I want to read you a quote by Mexican President Calderon. He said, "We need to stop the flow of guns and weapons towards Mexico. Let me express to you that we've seized in this 2 years more than 25,000 weapons and guns, and more than 90% of them came from the United States. And I'm talking from missile launchers to machine guns and grenades." Okay, first of all, let's clear this up. 25,000 weapons and guns. So whatever the weapons were, however many guns, 90% came from the United States. 90% of what? Probably the guns, we're guessing here. And I'm talking from missile launchers to machine guns and grenades. Those are certainly not things that you and I or straw purchasers can go to a gun store, buy, and take across the border. Can't do it. There's no access to any of that to be able to go for anybody to pick up and go across the border. So where's all this United States missile launchers, machine guns, and grenades coming from? Well, obviously, this is military-grade hardware. What happens is you get a foreign entity, be it a government or an otherwise realized, we figure they're probably a good guy group, and they apply to purchase weapons, military-grade weapons, from United States contractors, basically the manufacturers. And they have to put into there an end-user certificate. This is who's going to end up using these weapons. That goes to the State Department. State Department looks at it and says, oh, okay, you know, sounds good. And they ship them down, which is exactly how we supply arms to people that we really don't want the rest of the world to know we're directly involved. Remember the whole thing, Charlie Parker's war in Afghanistan? All of these arms went through Israel, which then went into Afghanistan, because Israel filled out the end-user certificates. We sent it to them. Once they get them, they can do whatever the hell they want. And in fact, oftentimes, it is some sort of government agency, some group that decides where these guns should end up. So they find the middleman. They find their own straw purchaser to buy them and say, certify, yes, we're going to use these guns. Now, of course, if they don't use those guns, there's no enforcement. United States government officials cannot go into a foreign land and arrest them for doing something like this. So these guns, in fact, are being straw purchased through the United States government entities into the hands of Mexico. Imagine that. More about this continuing when we return from the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So the U.S. State Department oversees a program that requires private companies in the United States to obtain an export license in order to sell defense hardware or services to foreign purchasers. And those foreign purchasers include both government units and private buyers in other countries. These different arms deals, they're known as direct commercial sales, or DCS. And each year, the State Department issues a report, and it tallies up the volume of dollar amount of DCS items approved for export. Not really the number of guns or hardware, but the dollar amount. Okay, the reports do not provide details on who the weapons or defense services are exported to specifically, but do provide an accounting of the destination countries. Although it's possible that some of the deals authorized under the DCS program were altered or even canceled after the export licenses were issued, the data compiled by the State Department does provide a broad snapshot of the extensive volume of U.S. private sector arms shipments to both Mexico and Latin America in general. Okay. According to an analysis of the DCS reports, some $1 billion in defense hardware was approved for export to Mexico via private U.S. companies between fiscal year 2004 and fiscal year 2007, which is the most recent data which is available. Overall, during the same period, a total of some $3.7 billion in weapons and other military hardware was provided for export under a DCS program to all of the other Latin American and Caribbean countries. So that means nearly $5 billion in hardware sent south of our border to Mexico or the rest of Latin America or Caribbean. In addition to the military hardware exports approved just for Mexico, nearly $4 billion in defense-related services, which would be technical assistance via private training of U.S. contractors, were also provided for export to Mexico over the same four-year period. And this is all according to the DCS reports. That means the total value of defense-related hardware and service exports by private U.S. companies to Mexico, as approved by the U.S. State Department, tallied nearly $5 billion over a four-year period. And I figure it doesn't even account for the $700 million in assistance already authorized under this new Mexico plan or new DCS exports beginning 2008-2009. All right? Here's a following sample of the types of arms shipments approved for export to Mexico, all right, during this DCS program. And this is just 2006-2007. This is just 2 years. 3.3 million worth of ammunition and explosives, including ammunition manufacturing equipment. 13,000 non-automatic and semi-automatic firearms, pistols, and revolvers that total $11.6 million. 42 grenade launchers valued at over $500,000. Nearly 3,600 explosive projectiles, including grenades, valued at $78,000, and then various night vision equipment valued at nearly $1 million, all right? So imagine that. They do have American weapons, stuff that was built in the United States. In fact, it can be tracked back to the U.S. They came from the U.S. So they're right. They are. Now, where the absolute lies begin is where the administration officials, both in Mexico and the United States, would have you believe that citizens of this country went in, bought up this stuff, these rocket launchers, these guns, these fully automatic guns, these missiles, these landmines, and put them in backpacks and trucked them across the border, or put them in the car and snuck them across the border and sold them to Mexican drug cartels. No. What's happened is the Mexican government, or some other what would appear to be a positive entity that for sale of this sort of stuff to Mexico, applied to buy this stuff. And this very well could have been arranged through any number of the U.S. intelligence agency, of which there's 35 to 40. So they trump all this up and say, we want to buy this stuff. And U.S. gun manufacturers and grenade manufacturers and rocket launcher manufacturers say they get an order and they fill it based on what the U.S. State Department sends to them. So they fill this order. They ship it off to Mexico. Once it gets to Mexico, somebody there signs for it. In fact, I'm part of the end user certificate. Once they get it, they can do whatever the hell they want with it. And they have. And considering the just rampant, absolute rampant corruption throughout Mexico, and it's a societal thing. Mexico's always been a corrupt society. Government, business, police, military, everything. It's always been, it's just the way it is in that country. Now, we find spots of corruption in this country. Where there's people, there's going to be corruption. It just depends on how much it's tolerated. And in Mexico, it's just a way of life. So for Mexican President Calderon to try and rid that country of all of this nonsense, he's getting backlash. And we're seeing a huge spike in crime and violence in Mexico as a result. Not our fault. Now, all of these arms then go to the end user, wherever they get them. They get shipped in some port, wherever, however they obtain them, in Mexico. Once they get them, they can do whatever they want. And they have found their way into the hands of criminals in the name of drug cartels. That is why they have not released the serial numbers. Because if Mexico releases the serial numbers to the ATF or any other division of the U.S. government, that then, through the Freedom of Public Information Act, would become public information that we could look at and then find that all that gets traced back through these DCS reports, through these end-user certificates, exactly what happened, and that the U.S. government is allowing it to continue to happen. So this is a U.S. government-initiated arms trade that has gone to a corrupt nation that gets these guns into the hands of the people that the Mexican government allegedly doesn't want to have. However, the Mexican government is in fact, through someone down the line, responsible for getting it to them. Not our problem. I should say, not a problem generated by you and I, the citizens of the United States. Not at all. Have there been a few straw purchases gone on around the bordering states into Mexico? Yes. Numbering in potentially the hundreds, not the tens of thousands that they had, have you believe, the hundreds within the past decade. All right? So all of this nonsense that they're trying to feed you and I is total, total BS. Now, keep in mind, there is what's referred to as the Blue Lantern Report. Okay? This Blue Lantern Report found that the Western Hemisphere, especially Latin America and the Caribbean, continues to be a region with a high incidence of unfavorable cases involving firearms and ammunition. Imagine that. The unfavorable findings indicate that fraud may have occurred, and those cases with these end-user certificates may be subject to civil enforcement actions or referred to law enforcement for criminal investigation. However, keep in mind, we have no power to go into another country. We can't, say, go into Chile and go make arrests. We can't do that. For the entire DCS program, and again, folks, this is the figure released from the State Department. Of the 234 Blue Lantern cases closed in fiscal year 2007, a total of 143 were deemed unfavorable. That's 23%, nearly one quarter of all of the sales of arms and munitions to any country south of the U.S.-Mexico border. One in four were deemed to be unfavorable. What's that mean? That means fraud. That means the end user certificates were absolutely fraudulent, and either we knew it or didn't know about it, but a quarter of all of the guns went into the hands of criminals. That's what it means. One out of four guns, grenades, rounds of ammunition. Now, this is deals, actually. So this is as if each deal was worth, say, $5 million, $100 million, whatever it is. But one in four deals went south. And these deals may have been larger than the average. Okay? The Blue Lantern Report does not mention specific transaction in detail, but does provide case study examples. One included in the report indicated that a Latin American firearms dealer acted as a front company for another a Latin American company. So again, straw purchases. And the U.S. State Department is allowing this. Who's in charge of that? Let's see. Where does the buck stop? The buck stops at the White House with President Barack Obama. And the enforcement of this, that buck stops at the Attorney General's office with that pinhead, Eric Holder. As anti-gun as he is, they are allowing this to continue under the Obama administration. So the U.S. government is responsible for providing these guns to the Mexican drug cartels. Imagine that. Mexico, by Calderon's own admission, it's dealing with a serious corruption problem within the ranks of Mexican law enforcement. It feels good to be vindicated. By the way, the NFA that I came up with yesterday, it looks like the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals may have gotten rid of that. You can buy full auto. Total farce, as I was guessing yesterday. That was an April Fool's joke. That did not happen. Don't go out buying full auto guns in the alleys. Didn't go on. Anyhow, we'll continue after these words.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
I love it how we as Americans are duped into electing stupid people, or I should say more along the lines, devious people. We have many, many, many devious people in Washington, D.C. We get them into office, whether it be elected or we elect somebody who appoints them, like this just dumbass Eric Holder and our wonderful Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who will just not go away. Please go away, Hillary Clinton, my God. And these people take that level of influence because they have the mainstream media, which will look at them. We're talking like the major news outlets, and actually play their rhetoric. They're garbage. Whether they know the score or they don't know the score, they just run their mouth because TV cameras are running and somebody wants to get a sound bite, and hey, they want to provide it. All right. Between January 2000 and December 2006, so this is six full years, 2000 through 2006, more than 163,000 military members of the Mexican military were criminally processed during former President Vicente Fox's six-year term in office. The majority of the crimes were abuse of power, homicide, embezzlement, kidnapping, bank robbery, illegal possession of firearms, and health crimes. Essentially, all this stuff was gang crimes. They're organized crime. 163,000 were criminally processed. Now, that's not how many were doing it. That's how many were found to do it in a six-year period in the Mexican military. Rampant corruption. Another bit of this information states that the Mexican military reported an average of 1,200 desertions per month in 2006. Where did they go? Well, there is one of the most violent drug groups in America right now is known as the Zetas. It was founded by a former elite Mexican special operations troop, many of whom received some training in the U.S. How about that? All right? Now, as they call it, here's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. A former senior U.S. customs inspector who asked that his name not be used provided the following reaction when presented with this DCS data. I would agree entirely that DCS and DOD gifted, as opposed to DCS sold, weapons are obviously the simplest explanation for the massive rise in the number of fully automatic weapons, grenades, rockets, etc., obtained by the narcotics gangs. That is to say, they are obtaining their weapons from their own Mexican government by various illegal means. The Mexican government has a long and well-documented history of corruption at all levels, from city to federal. Most of the weapons being displayed in the media are simply not available for sale to American civilians, particularly including the grenades, both 40mm and hand types. The source of these weapons can be easily traced by ATF. All foreign sales must be reported to ATF prior to shipment, just in case the government wishes to hold up a shipment to a particular country, etc. Tracing the serial numbers would be easy with U.S. government assistance, of course. But that assumes the Mexican government and our own government really want to trace those weapons. A November 2008 report in the San Antonio Express News, which included details of the major weapons seizures in areas of Mexico, that the same month involving the Zetas revealed the following. Another example of coordination problems occurred this month. Mexican authorities in Reynosa, Mexico, across the border from McAllen, Texas, seized the country's largest single stash of cartel weapons, nearly 300 rifles, shoulder-fired grenade launchers, and 500,000 rounds of ammunition. But weeks later, Mexican authorities still have not allowed the ATF access to serial numbers that would help them track down the buyers and traffickers on the U.S. side. The reason is, guys, it didn't happen. U.S. people, U.S. citizens didn't buy these, and they weren't trafficked across, unless you consider the U.S. government straw purchasers and traffickers. In that case, it did happen. The U.S. government is doing this. To be sure, cartel corruption and intimidation of Mexican law enforcement at every level and in every agency has caused some dysfunction. All right? A former DEA agent, who also asked not to be named, says the shipment of military-grade weapons to Mexican government under the DCS program, given the extent of corruption within that government, is essentially like shipping weapons to a crime syndicate. At least one individual with long connections to U.S. intelligence agencies is convinced that the corrupt transfer of arms between the Mexican military and narco criminals in Mexico is more than theory. It's fact. Can you imagine that, folks? They're trying to say, let's limit the guns that U.S. citizens can buy so that they don't end up in the hands of these narco drug dealer terrorists wreaking all this havoc across the border in Mexico, when in fact it is the U.S. State Department who is allowing all of this to happen, and in some cases, the U.S. government, which is providing the arms to this. Wonderful. And we trust these people to run this country. What the hell are we doing? We need new folks in there. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
More on this big load of Bolshevik about the U.S.-Mexico issue and allegedly U.S. guns being purchased and smuggled into Mexico. What a crock. Listen to this. This is all about Senator John Kerry. And I got to tell you, doesn't he look funny? He looks like a cross between the mascot of the New England Patriots and Beaker from the Muppets. Anyhow, here goes Beaker. Sending National Guard to the U.S. border of Mexico is premature and possibly counterproductive, but reviving the assault weapons ban would help end the drug-related violence in Mexico, Senator John Kerry said Monday. The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee said the U.S. and Mexico must work more closely to stop cross-border weapon smuggling and curb the American appetite for illegal drugs that is fueling the violence along the border. Imagine that, a war on drugs that's been failing because you haven't been doing it right. Americans are worried that the cartels will turn our cities and neighborhoods into the next front in the war. Drug trafficking and the ruthless violence it spawns know no borders. So far, the United States has largely been spared, but it is in our national interest and in our solemn obligation to take steps today to help curtail the killing in Mexico. But he added, any response by the U.S. to the violence must be made in partnership with the Mexicans. The idea of dispatching the National Guard to the border is premature and possibly counterproductive. What statement could possibly be stated out of any politician's mouth that would reaffirm, you're right, this could be a problem coming into the United States. We should arm ourselves and train just in case this happens to repel this foreign problem from spilling into the United States. Not so. John Kerry's going the opposite way. The Massachusetts Democrat said the U.S. must, quote, revive the ban on importing assault rifles into the United States, end quote, which he attributed to the flood of weapons finding their way to Mexico. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms reports that the U.S. is responsible for close to 90% of the high-powered weapons that find their way into Mexican drug cartels' hands, which is total bull, because the Mexican government has failed to give even a single serial number of a single seized firearm to anyone at ATF. ATF doesn't like you owning guns. They like them having guns. That is an absolute lie and fabrication. I have said before, anybody in public office, be it by a job or by being elected, goes out of their way to lie or try to sway anyone into a false belief should be charged criminally and, if found guilty, serve triple the sentence handed down by the judge or jury. Declaring the drug trade recognizes no borders, and neither should law enforcement, Kerry said, that the U.S. and Mexico need to form a combined front against drug traffickers. He also called for the Senate to ratify the 1997 Inter-American Convention Against Illicit Trafficking in Weapons and Explosives. Mexico proposed the document, and the U.S. signed it into. And the U.S. signed onto it at the time, under the auspice of the Organization of American States, as to the means to try to shut down the black market of arms. It does not contradict any American gun laws. Yeah, bull. But ratification would send an important message about our commitment to fight the weapons trafficking that is fueling the violence in Mexico, Kerry said of the 12-year-old treaty. It is not an American gun issue in Mexico. It is a Mexican drug issue with guns gathered elsewhere. According to Texas District Attorney Jaime Esparza, crime along the U.S. southern border has increased to levels never before seen. Authorities claim 6,290 drug-related deaths in Mexico in 2008. 6,300, imagine that. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration says between $18 billion and $39 billion is spent annually in the U.S. on drugs from Colombia and Mexico. Wow. Maybe we should do something about that. Supply and demand. If there's no demand, there's no need for a supply. Joseph Arabic, DEA Special Agent in charge of the El Paso Division, said the Justice Department must expand its intelligence capabilities and use information generated by law enforcement agencies and government partners to assist Mexican authorities in attacking the cartels and their allies. He said the department must also focus its efforts on investigation, extradition, and prosecution and punishment of key cartel leaders. I couldn't agree more. How about this? How about if the Mexican government asked the United States government if we could step in with our military and help them crush these drug cartels? Again, it's their problem, not ours, but better that. than to take my guns or your guns because Mexico has a problem. What does taking my guns away or restricting my guns have to do with Mexico? Nothing. All it is a means to an end. It's not about guns. It's about control. And it's very difficult for a government to control the citizens if they're armed. They need to control subjects. Subjects are unarmed. The Justice Department must also employ a strategy to specifically target the leadership and financial assets of cartels, he said, although he cited the need for more money and more manpower to address the escalating violence. He added that senior DEA and ATF officials are trying to combat violence associated with the widespread distribution of drugs on our streets and in our neighborhoods, battles between members of rival cartels on American soil, and violence directed against U.S. citizens and government interests. William McMahon of the ATF proposed more inspection on the southbound traffic going from the U.S. into Mexico. A senator from Wyoming, who was present at the hearings, called for an increase in sheriffs along the southwest border, but he said stricter gun control was not a viable solution. This was Senator John Barrasso, Republican out of Wyoming. Clear-thinking guy. But I got to tell you, the sheriffs, the National Guard, the Border Patrol, the ATF, the FBI, the CIA, the everybody else you can think of, park rangers, you know, BLM enforcement should not be on the border looking at people going south. The Mexicans should be on the border looking for people going south. If they don't want something coming into their country, set up a border crossing. We did. Despite the increase in violence, Arbit said some programs have been made in fighting the drug cartels, including the arrest last month of more than 750 individuals on narcotics-related charges under Organized Excelsior, a multi-agency, multinational effort that began in May of 2007 and targeted the Mexican drug trafficking organizations known as the Sinaloa Cartel. Kerry added that despite the stress the Mexican government is under in trying to control the violence, it is not a failed state. I am troubled by some in some quarters about Mexico becoming a failed state. Mexico is a functioning democracy, he said. That's right, a very functioning, very corrupt democracy that the current president is trying to get that turned around. Things get worse before they get better in a situation where you've had centuries and multiple generations of corruption. You can't end it immediately, and there's going to be backlash. That's what Mexico is experiencing. It's a Mexican problem. It's a Mexican issue with the way that they are handling themselves, and it was bound to happen. It has nothing to do with you and I. Here is an open letter to Senator John Kerry by a guy named David Carlrusher. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule of alpine skiing, windsurfing, and doing whatever else your job as senator requires you to do regarding the Senate Foreign Relations Committee meeting in El Paso. Dear Senator Kerry, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule of alpine skiing, windsurfing, and doing whatever else your job as senator requires you to do to have a special meeting of your committee here in El Paso. We don't get many visitors of your caliber here very often. Excuse us if we drool a little bit while we stare. I'm glad you noticed that various criminal elements of the drug trafficking world south of the border are slaughtering each other at a rate that is quite alarming. We're a little confused why you didn't notice last year when the first 1,600 people met Jesus in the war over the right to be America's next top drug dealer, a far more interesting show idea than that about models. More cutthroat, if you ask me. It seems if you and your committee members are about a year, it seems that you're about a year too late. They're now running out of people to kill, and you're just now taking notice. I wonder why. Forgive me if I find your sudden interest in the border a little coincidental. It wasn't until your buddy and my President Barack Obama's poll numbers started dropping, did you all of a sudden become interested in the plight of the Mexican people and their cartel problem? It's a good diversionary tactic. God knows Middle America was already scared that all the Mexicans were going to come take their jobs and make them start speaking Spanish. Take that scenario and arm the Mexicans with machine guns, and you might just get us so scared that we totally forget about our 401ks and that they are worthless in compared to the peso, and our government is now the CEO of every corporation in the nation. Excuse me if I'm not buying it. I don't have time to make it down to the meeting today. You see, I have to work. So does my wife. Lucky you're not in that position, and you can run around telling us working stiffs how to live and by what rules. On a side note, I truly hope you fall to your knees every night and thank the Lord for what you have, and you truly mean it. There are far too many Americans on their knees each night who have lost everything and are just thankful that they are free. I did have the time to read your opening statement. You can find it here if you don't remember what you said by following this link. I'll try to be concise in my review of your opening statements. You propose stripping Americans of their Second Amendment right in order to curtail behavior of foreign citizens in a foreign country. Please correct me if I'm wrong on this point. You want to guilt a certain part of the American population into handing over their constitutionally given rights. You will blame American first and seek to turn us into a guilty party when we are clearly not. You will also achieve that guilt by manipulating numbers such as the ones you gave in your opening statements. You said 90% of the weapons seized from the cartels are traced by ATF originated in the United States. Exactly how many guns does that amount to? Or is that the number so small it would blow your claim so that American gun shops are funding a cartel war that could involve more than 100,000 weapons? 90% could easily be 9 of 10 guns found in the last year. Something tells me 90% sounds a lot worse than the actual number of weapons. If your lack of detailed numbers on the amounts of guns being illegally taken into Mexico for the drug war isn't bad enough, your call for committing an entire U.S. law enforcement agency to take its precious time to apply it to tracking weapons in a foreign country, Americans should be appalled at this statement from your remarks. Quote, what is less common, however, is the cooperation that has occurred in this case. Only one in about every four weapons seized by Mexican authorities last year was submitted to the ATF so they could be traced back to purchasers and sellers in the United States. The Mexican government should provide the ATF with fuller access to these weapons. Imagine that. The idea that our ATF agents would be shouldered with the responsibility of investigating crimes in another sovereign country is ridiculous. They have a hard enough time tracking wackos making fertilizer bombs, hillbillies brewing moonshine, and wise guys smuggling cigarettes. I expect that if our ATF agents are going to be sent to Mexico to track American weapons, we'd at least expect Mexican officials to come to America to track their undocumented Mexican immigrants. I bet I'm not alone when I find your premise that the expiration of the assault weapons ban in 2004 led to, quote, a flood of cheap assault rifles where many of them find their way to Mexico. Yeah, what a load. First of all, assault weapons aren't cheap. And they sure as hell aren't any cheaper in America than they are on the global black market, where the majority of weapons are bought by your local terrorist groups. I've got a hunch that these cartel guys who manage to bring tons of cocaine out of Colombia every day via 747s might be able to find a way to get a few thousand AK-47s out of Russia and put them safely in the hands of their goons. Remember, we've got everybody but Chuck Norris down in Colombia trying to stop the cocaine trade, and yet they keep us supplied with plenty of dope. You'll know when our efforts in Colombia start working, your Hollywood friends will be the first to complain. In fact, you can ban guns here, and I'll still bet they'll be killing each other over there. By all accounts, you've got a few rednecks with less sense than a gaggle of potheads selling guns in Mexico. Hardly the catastrophe you are making it out to be, an extremely weak case to build your prosecution of law-abiding gun owners. I can't help but believe that the administration, when it says they are pledging money to Mexico for their cartel problems again, The fact that you plan on making the same mistake with American tax dollars that President Bush did shows that you do not learn from watching. Giving the Mexican government, who you admit is rife with corruption, hundreds of millions of American taxpayer dollars for the war on terror is like handing weapons directly to the cartels. It does not take a genius to figure out what happens to the weapons purchased by the Mexican government with American taxpayer dollars. They're quickly sold out the back of local armories to the cartels for pennies on the dollar. You can assume that the literally tens of thousands of firearms bought with American taxpayers' money in Mexico will be traced right back to the United States if they are taken back from cartel members. No need to call Sherlock Holmes. I think we can handle that investigation on our own. I get the distinct feeling that our tax dollars are leading to your call to strip us of our Second Amendment rights. How cute. We are paying to have our freedom stripped from us. Aren't we lucky we have guys like you helping us out? In your entire opening remarks, you dedicate the majority of your finger-pointing to the Second Amendment. However, you did not speak long at all on the American drug problem. Maybe if you were as adamant about stopping the millions of Americans from breaking the law each day by using drugs, and as you are stopping millions of Americans from legally owning firearms, you'd see some results in Mexico. If the problem is corruption, why aren't you talking about that? It's hard to ask someone to give up crack than it is to give up their gun rights. More when we return.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
I got to admit, every time we come out of that break and come into this next segment, I always play air guitar to that particular bumper. Folks, here we are. Every day, it seems, we're having some bit or piece of news on this whole issue with drugs and guns between Mexico and the United States. Now, if we just added hookers to the mix, we'd have a party, right? Guns, drugs, hookers. It'd just be great, wouldn't it? In fact, we're going to have to deal with probably another country on that, maybe Taiwan. I say this in jest because it is getting ridiculous that all of our political officials are coming down on us, you, me, anybody else that owns guns, especially those in the bordering states. Of course, with the exception of California, because California is so, it's so politically heavy. And a lot of this this brainwashing mindset is coming from California officials in D.C., that they don't want to say that it's happening out of their state. So they're blaming more along the lines of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. It's become abundantly clear, because they run their mouths so much and they don't provide all the information. The reason is they're misleading you. And misleading is essentially a form of lying. I've said it before. I'll say it again. If anyone is in the public domain, where they're either elected or work on the public payroll, and they make statements to the media about anything at all, and it is found that they are misleading or outright lying, they should be criminally prosecuted. They should be given triple the sentence if found guilty of whatever that comes out of the judge or jury's decision-making box. And on top of that, they should be disallowed from ever holding any form of public office whatsoever again for the remainder of their life. That's my opinion. Well, if that were the case, we would be getting rid of Hillary Clinton. Yay! Round of applause for that. We'd be getting rid of Beaker John Kerry. Yay! Get rid of him. I'm not a really huge New England Patriot fan anyhow. And we'd also be getting rid of Pinhead Eric Holder. Yay! All three of them would be down the road. Why? Because they've been lying to us on this whole deal. We've even had different varying reports out of officials, quote-unquote, of the ATF. Some are saying, oh, yeah, we got 90%, we got all these guns. Others are saying, yeah, I believe it's actually in the hundreds, not in the thousands. And others saying, oh, yeah, we have all the serial numbers, we can trace them. And then other reports out of ATF saying, you know, the Mexican government isn't giving us any of the numbers. We will not give you any of those numbers because they will be traced back into the U.S. government hands. They do not want us to give them to you. That's basically what we're getting out of the Mexican government. Why? Because they're getting these guns and giving them away. So I should say, selling them away. It's been a fun show. I've enjoyed it. We've got a show tomorrow dedicated on training and mindset. So, if you are one of those folks that carries a gun for personal protection, tomorrow's the show you're going to want to tune into. If you have any comments you'd like to send to me, bill@2aradio.com. Thanks for sitting in with me today. Hope you had a good ride. I did. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.